an appointment with death. As you see in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27 and 28, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, as we look at this, a lot of times when we deal with funerals and things of that nature or dealing with the dead, many people will go over to the book of Job. And when you look at Job chapter number 14, Job really starts to ponder on what really life is. And he looks at life in two perspectives, from the viewpoint of life here on earth and then life after earth. Mother Bess knows more about life now than we have ever known. She's seen a part that we have never seen before. She knows things that we don't know. That's why one writer said, we've only seen in part. We only know in part. You think of what knowledge she has gained just simply crossing over on December 12th. Talk about eternity, but to actually cross over into it, that's knowledge that can only be gained from that experience. Everything else is faith. You know what faith is? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Now, see, the difference between her now is no longer a walk of faith. She's no longer walking in faith anymore. That has become a reality for her. We are still on this side. So we must take the word and move in faith. But what can we draw off of? We can draw off of certain realities. One reality is we know everything has to come to an end, whether we want it to or not. Everything has to come to an end. We have to wake up out of sleep and stop thinking that we are going to be the exception to that rule. A lot of times we move with such fearlessness as though death has to catch up with us, and it does not. Death is not chasing you. Death does not have to catch up with you. Death has a point that is already established. And once you reach that mark, death takes over. That's what Job says, that when he's going to call and we're going to do what? Answer, right? So let's look at Job chapter number 14 and start at verse number 1. It says, "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." Now we know why men are in trouble. Trouble stems from sin. Sin is the transgression of the law that separates right from wrong or good from evil. When Adam and Eve ate from that tree that they were told not to eat of, that was sin. And that tendency to do that passed on to all of their descendants. All of us have the tendency to do the things that we are not supposed to do. You even take my grandbaby over there, Elena. We tell her don't do something. Something inside of her draws her to go do opposite of what we said. No matter what we say, something inside of her says she's going to do it anyway. And it's the same way your experiences when you were dealing with your children or any other young people. You tell them don't do this or don't do that. And you see, they're going to find a way to get it done. Well, you say, well, why did they do that? Because of that sinful nature. And when you look at sin, sin is not fair. Sin is not pretty. Sin is not fun. The enemy tries to set it up as though it's all of these things until you have to deal with the consequences of it. You know, people go out there and party and jump around and dance and shake. And everything is laughter, 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 giggle, 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 until the consequences of sin set in. And then people want to start crying, woe is me, I shouldn't have. You know, this is not fair, this is not right. Well, no, Lord had already told you from the beginning to leave sin alone. Why? Because the wage of it is death. Sin does not want you nor creation to live. That's why Jesus came to save us or to deliver us from sin. That's what Matthew 1:21 says. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from sin. That means the only one that have come into the earth to save humanity from sin is Jesus. And the enemy doesn't want people to realize that. The enemy wants people to think that they can educate themselves past sin. They can earn money to deal with sin. They can go on vacations to deal with sin. And after you do all of those things, sin is still facing you in, you know, standing right there in your face. And sin is still saying, you've done all of this stuff, but you still haven't dealt with me. And the only one, again, that can save from sin is Jesus. He's the only one that can deliver you from your sin. So that's why it says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. You look at his life, he come forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Verse number 3, dost thine open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee, right? So that lets us know we are so concerned with what other people think that we really miss the big picture, that we only have one that we're going to stand before at the day of judgment, and that's Jesus. And Jesus is not going to judge us, again, based upon our educational accomplishments. He's not going to judge us based upon what we acquire in the bank. He's not going to judge us based upon our address or what we have done, you know, to acquire stuff in our homes. He's going to judge us based upon the standards of righteousness. The root word of righteousness is right. Well, if I'm born in sin, I'm the opposite of right. When you're born in sin, you're born wrong. And the only one that can correct that wrong is Jesus. That's why he say, I've come to save you or to deliver you from sin or to deliver you from wrong. So you think about that concept. That's what that word justification means. Justification is the process where Jesus declares the sinner righteous or makes him right. Based upon the sinner's faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that sinner has to believe that Jesus died for his sins. And not just believe it, but he has to act out that belief. When you go down in the water, when you first of all, you say, I believe Jesus died for sin or for my sin, that means I need to stop it. All of that wrong stuff that be fishing around in my mind, all of those thoughts that are not like Jesus, all of those attitudes that are contrary to righteousness, I need to let that stuff go. I need to stop looking for excuses as to why I can harbor that stuff or hold on to that stuff. And I need to bring an end to it. You know, that's a beautiful thing about Jesus. He allows us the opportunity to say enough is enough. In other words, today you can say December 31st. Today there's going to be this is it. No more am I going to let sin dominate my mind. Now, the important thing is that once you make that declaration, you follow through with it. You start to behave yourself like sin has come to an end. You start to change your ways. You can't say, I'm not going to do this no more. And then, you know, someone call you an hour or two later and you back at it again. You haven't repented. Repentance means you change your ways. You bring an end to the wrong. You stop it, right? In other words, you change your circle. Change people that you hang around. Change people that you socialize with. You change people that you confide in. You say, I feel I should be able to tell my best friend all of these things. No, not when you repent. When you repent, you no longer look for best friend in people. You say, I got to learn to depend on Jesus. One thing is true. You tell Jesus all this stuff that's going on, you don't have to worry about nobody repeating it. You don't have to worry about it getting out nowhere. Only reason it's going to get out is because you told it. But if you tell Jesus, Jesus keeps it right between you and him. And not only keeps it, he helps you work through it. He helps you to go through this stuff. That's why he tells you to put your trust in Jesus. Don't put your trust in man. Because man will let you down. Mother, father, one day will forsake you. Mother, father, one day you're going to look up and they're not going to be there for you. Now, it's not that they don't desire to. They're just limited. You know, our brother and our sister, right now, they no longer can call mom no more. Those days are done. And you know, they may have the number in the phone. They may say, oh, let me dial. Nah, those days are done. See, the reality of life. One day, mother and father are going to forsake you. But who can you depend on? You can lean and depend on Jesus to be there for you, right? That's why these are lessons you got to get while you can. Before these unfortunate things happen. And then you stand there all lonely and sad and down. And you don't even realize somebody was trying to prepare you for this hour before it got here. Somebody was trying to get your mind focused where it needed to be at before the sad time got here, right? Come on, that's true. The Lord's going to bring us into judgment with him. Who can bring a clean thing? That's right. That means there's no specialist out there that can fix your problem. There's no medication in any laboratory that will ever be able to bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. You say, oh, the scuttle, that something must be wrong with that. Bleach cleans everything. Nah, bleach can take care of the stains on the earth, but bleach can't take care of the stains of your soul. Huh? You can go on and try to drink all the bleach you want. You be foolish like that Donald Trump told them folk. Donald Trump told them to deal with COVID. He said, well, if Lysol and bleach does all of this to kill it, he said, maybe the people should be digesting that and kill the virus. And little did he know he was joking, but people took him serious. People took him serious and started doing this stuff, and he had to come back and retract it and say, no, the president didn't mean to say that's how you deal with it, but he was trying to say his common sense was, or the logic was, if this stuff kills the virus, you should be able to create something to be digested by the human to kill that virus. Well, that man can spend all of his days worrying about how to cure sicknesses, but do you realize from the beginning of Adam, no one has been able to come up with a cure for sin? Only one that has been able to deal with sin is Jesus. That's why I tell you, you need to be saved for real. So that when folk look at you and you tell them about Jesus, they should be able to see a significant change in your life. If not, your salvation is no good. It's no good. When I say Jesus saves, Jesus delivers. People should be able to see there has been a change in your life. You say, I'm not the person that I used to be. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't think the way I used to think. My motives have changed. My focus and my priorities has changed. The object of my love and affection has changed. Who has occupied that space? Nobody but Jesus. Everyone else is secondary. Everything else is optional. But Jesus is my priority. One writer said, in him I live, move, and have my being. He's the length of my days. Without him, I can't do nothing, right? Jesus has become my priority, right? That's right. That's right. Jesus has become my priority. He's the only one that can bring a clean thing. Huh? Sometimes we go through stuff just to expose just how messy and dirty our life really is. Just so the Lord can help you to better appreciate the salvation that he brings. Everybody else is not going to appreciate this salvation unless you go through some stuff. I mean, unless you really get down in the muck and the mire and the dirt. You know, once you really get dirty and see how horrible and rotten you are, when Jesus come through and clean your life up, people look at you and say, something is different about you. You don't look the same, huh? You used to be all down and depressed, but now you got a smile on your face. Now I don't understand how you could smile in the midst of all of this stressful stuff. You keep talking about joy. Keep talking about peace. Keep talking about love. What is it? That's when you have real salvation. You can identify as nobody but Jesus. Jesus took a dirty, wretched, miserable soul. And he cleaned me up. Cleaned me up how? Bow through his blood. That's why you learn to appreciate the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Why? Because you realize it is that blood that cleansed you from sin, right? That's truth. That's why mother used to love it. We take communion. Time for us to take communion. We start singing about the blood of Jesus. You see the tears roll out of her eyes. And nobody could understand why. He said, this is not the first time we take communion. But she says, I had to think about the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus. How I don't deserve. Huh? Come on, look back over your life. Look back over your life. And you should be able to say, I don't deserve all of these things Jesus has done for me. But he keep on reaching out and loving me in spite of all that I do, right? In spite of all that I go through, he keeps right on loving me, right? Keep right on wanting the best for me. That's truth. And that's what that one writer says. Nobody can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. No, not one. Keep going. Verse number 5. See what 5 say? My days are determined. This is what I was trying to get across to you yesterday. We got to stop moving across this earth without consciousness. Stop moving from day to day as though these things don't matter. You know, we have to know. December 31st, 2023 is significant. Why is it significant? Because I'm not going to get this day again. I'm not going to get this opportunity again. You know, once this day is over, I can't go back and correct it. A lot of times folk want you to do that. They say, oh, look at what you did. Look at what you said back here. But you can't correct that stuff. Only thing you can work with is what Jesus gave you. And the only thing you can pray for is Jesus. Please don't help me not to make those errors again. Jesus, help change my mind. Change my thought process so that when that challenge comes my way, help me to think differently so that I can respond the way you want me to respond. Why are you thinking like that, Stephen? Why? Because my days are determined. Huh? I can't add no more to it. Huh? I can't add no more to what the Lord gave me. If the Lord only promised me 48 years, honey, next year is my year. Y'all understand that? I'm already 47. If he says, Stephen, all you got is 48 years, next year is my year. That means I got to move every day with caution. Why? Because my days are determined, right? That's scripture, isn't it? That my days are determined. The number of my months. Huh? How many months are in the year? 12? Huh? That means the Lord has numbered my months. Y'all understand that? Come on. You do the math really quick. How much is 80 and 12? How much is 80 and 12? Huh? No. That can't be 92. 80 and 12 multiplied. 80 times 12. Huh? 960. That 960... October to October, 960, October, November, December. That means the Lord numbered. Y'all understand? I want you to see the seriousness of this. Lord said, Gloria Best has 962 months to be on this earth. Huh? Come on. That's what the scripture says. Seeing your days are determined. The number of your months are with Jesus. Huh? He's appointed your bounds, and you cannot do what? See, come on. That's why the psalm writer said, Lord, teach me how to number my days so that I can be a wise person. I don't want to be a fool with the time Jesus gave me, right? That's true. I want to be wise. Huh? People say, oh, you too serious. No, it's not that I'm too serious. I'm trying to be cautious. I'm trying to be wise. With the time that Jesus gave me, I don't want to spend my days in foolishness. I don't want to spend my days in idleness. Huh? Trying to focus on things that don't have nothing to do with my soul. Huh? Come on. Don't have nothing to do with your soul. Open up your bulletin there. We looked at these scriptures yesterday. Come on, give me that first one. Job 14 and 5. That, yeah, we read that one already. Yes. appointed my bounds that I cannot pass, right? Yes. See, that's the process. Jesus one day is going to call us. Huh? Get this across to yourself. Get these across to your loved ones. One day Jesus is going to call you. That's true. Come on. Those that are blessed to be in senior years, get this across to your younger generation. Say, don't you put no investments in me, because one day I'm getting out of here. Huh? Come on. It's just the reality of life. I was telling my wife that the other day, my mom and dad don't have the same number in front of them that's behind them. No, no, no. They've done crossed over the promise. They're in 70 now. They don't have 70 in front of them. That's behind them. So the days now are shorter. Huh? Come on. I'm only a fool if I think that they're going to spend all of these years and they're going to be here and I'm going to be here with them. Huh? I got to be cautious about how I honor them while they're here. Why? Because I got a short time. Got a short time, and I can't wait to after they get in the grave and say, Lord, help me to honor my mom and my dad. No, you better do it while you can. You better do it while you can. You better give them all the I love you. You better call them. You better hug them. You better do for them while you can. Huh? Why? Because when the night comes, that's it. That's it. There's no more working. There's no more giving. There's no more doing, right? That's the truth. Come on, what did that verse say?
It says, thou shalt call.
Lord is going to call. I said, you can't get mad at Jesus. He's already told you he's going to call. He calls children. And you get some people get so mad. I don't understand how the Lord could call my child. He already told you, I've appointed your bounds. You the fool and not realize what Jesus said. Some folk only have 12 years allotted to them. Some people only have 12 hours allotted to them. Some only have 2 minutes allotted to them. And you have to realize the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Only thing we can do is ask the Lord, Jesus, give me the strength to accept your will. Give me the strength to bless you at all times. I don't just want to praise you when I feel good. I want to praise you when the weight of sin is heavy upon my mind. I still want to reach down in my soul and find a hallelujah down inside of me, right? That's the truth. I don't want to play the games with this thing. I realize Jesus is my maker. He's the one that controls all of this stuff. All of this stuff is in his hand. Huh? Come on, saints. All of this stuff is in his hand. We have no control over it. Huh? It is out of our power. It is out of our authority. Sometimes you just got to stand back and say, Jesus, let your will be done, right? Jesus, let your will be done. Give me the strength to accept what your will is. That's true. Sometimes that stuff hits you like a weight of bricks. Huh? Sometimes you be like that, how can I deal with this stuff? And then you just fall back and say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me to go through. One thing I can know is, Jesus, you knew this before it got to me. Huh? If you knew all about it, that means you got a plan to carry me through it. Even though I cannot see it. Through faith, I'm going to call on your name. Why? Because your name is my strong power. I'm going to put my trust in your name, right? That's the truth. I'm going to put my trust in your name. I know your name hasn't failed me. I know everybody else want to be articulate and give him all of these lavish words from out of a dictionary when they don't even have know the meaning of it. But the Lord said, I gave you a name that is above every name. And I just need you to put your trust in that name. There is no salvation in any other. Huh? Come on. That's why when you feel that weight of sadness try to get across your mind, that's the time you need to run in Jesus. Say, Jesus, you did not save me for me to be feeling sad and down. Jesus, you did not save me to make me feel like my life is in jeopardy, like I can't walk around with confidence. Jesus, you did not save me for me to fear what man can do. That's when you need to run in that name until you are safe, right? Run in that name until you're safe. Hold on to that name.
Jesus.
And to that name delivers you. Only you know when you need to be delivered. Delivered to the point that you don't have that fear. You don't have that weight on your mind no more. You don't have that bother. Your mind is not all discombobulated. That's why we tell you call on the name of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you what the name will do for you. The name is a mind regulator. Oh, yes, it is. The name is a mind regulator. I ain't talking about what the scripture says. I'm talking about from personal experience. What the name will do for you. If you put your trust in that name, you don't hold back. I mean, you call on that name with some fervency, with some passion, with some heat, with some desire. The Lord won't leave you calling him long before he come by and touch you, right? Yes, he'll come by and touch you. Let you know he's right there. But you got to act it out. You got to show the Lord, Jesus, I'm serious about this. Jesus, I'm trusting in you. Huh? Come on. What better way to show Jesus that you're trusting in his name than for you to let that name come out of your lips? Huh? Let it come out of your lips over and over and over again. So much so that you don't let it go until it satisfies your soul, right? You can't let that name go until it satisfies your soul. That's truth. Oh, yeah, that's right. Can't let that name go until it do that. Keep reading that scripture a little bit more. Yeah. Don't you realize you are the work of Jesus' hand? Huh? What did Jesus do to Adam? He formed him from the dust of the ground. And he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a what? Huh? One writer said, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In his book, had he all my members. He knew right where to hang all of my members. Huh? None of it is by mistake. That's why I said when you see these babies come out and they've got all of their faculties, you can say, thank you, Jesus. Huh? You say, thank you, Jesus. You didn't allow sin to do what it desires to do. Sin wants to cut off my members. Y'all understand that? Sin wants me to come out deformed. Huh? Sin don't want you to come out whole. Huh? Sin don't want you to have all of your fingers. Huh? Sin didn't want that. If it was up to sin, one of them would have been missing. One of them would have been missing. An arm would have been missing. Huh? And you would have had to go through a whole life experience not knowing what it's like to have two of these. But when the Lord blesses you, come out your mama's womb with two of these. You can say, I thank you, Jesus. Why? Because I know somebody that don't got all of this. Now the question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it, right? What are you going to do with it? Huh? What are you going to do with it? You going to find room to complain? Are you going to be a murmurer and a complainer? Huh? Even when the Lord had to put these on your eyes. I can remember I was coming back from Philadelphia years ago with my wife and my dad, and we were on the highway, and I can remember when my eyesight went blurry. I was looking at the signs, and they weren't sharp like they were. I said, I don't know what's going on with my eyes. Had to go get them checked. Doctor said, you need some glasses. I said, what are you talking about? I need glasses. Yesterday, I didn't need them, but today, I need them. Wow. Huh? Come on. I wanted to get into a little crying, a little hissy fit. Saying, why me? Why I got to wear glasses? How I got to have four eyes? Huh? Talking about everybody else, how weird they look without them glasses. Now I got to walk around with glasses on my eyes. Huh? I had to get out of that pit of sorrow. I had to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving man the wisdom. Huh? The wisdom and the understanding to put some stuff in this glass. Huh? So that my vision could get straight. Huh? Come on, saints. You got to find something to thank Jesus for. Huh? Why? Because I could have been born without any eyes at all. Huh? Come on, when you looked at my head, it could have been empty sockets. But Jesus blessed me, right? Jesus blessed me. Huh? Oh, yeah. Got a couple of the saints losing teeth. Huh? Left and right.
Come on, it's reminding you. Your body's going back to the dirt. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But you thank the Lord you're living during the time. Honey, you ain't got to put wood in your mouth. See, there was a time when they used wood for dentures. Huh? They done got sophisticated now. Them things look better than your natural teeth. Huh? Come on. Them things look better than your natural teeth. I ain't worried about it. Just as long as it don't be, it ain't bothering you. Them things look better than your natural teeth. So much so the rich folk go and take that fake stuff and cover up the good stuff. Why? Because they want the stuff to be straight. Huh? But I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't hide the reality. Even though you put that porcelain over the real stuff, your body is still decaying. Huh? If you take the porcelain off, you'll see your mouth is rotten. Why? Because you're going back to the dirt. Huh? You are still subject to the same creator as the poor man, right? Is that true? Come on, saints. I just want to open up your understanding. Your days are determined. The numbers of your months are with Jesus. You better ask the Lord to help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, to pay attention to these months. Why? Because they come quickly. Huh? Come on. They come quickly. December done. It comes quickly. And you're not going to get it back. Huh? You're not going to get this month back. If you're not careful, one of these months are going to creep up on you. And it's going to be your month of departure. Huh? It's going to be the month that you're going to be getting out of here. Huh? It's going to be the month where people are going to be cleaning out your house. Huh? It's going to be the month where people are going to be cleaning out your bank account. And there's nothing that you can do about it. It's going to be the month where folk are going to look at you naked. And there's going to be nothing that you can do about it. Huh? The word has come to light. What has the word said? Naked. You came into this world. And naked you shall return. You shall take nothing. Huh? Everybody understand that? You will take nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
None of your labor. None of your possessions will go with you. So you better learn to be content. Huh? Come on, knowing who Jesus is, having food and raiment, you better learn to be content. Jesus, give me a place to lay my head so I can learn how to be satisfied with just knowing who you are. That's right, Deke. Don't you forget the pot. Don't you forget that pot, brother. Huh? In other words, don't you forget where you came from. Huh? Don't let these folk that don't know the real reality of life sidetrack you when the Lord done showed you. Huh? He showed you just what life really is. Because when you had nothing, huh? Who was there for you? Nobody. Nobody was there for you. Huh? Folk loved you from a distance. They did the best they could. Not that they couldn't do. They did the best they could. If they had it, they would have gave it to you. But they trying to live just like you are. They living from paycheck to paycheck just like you. And ain't but so much they can do for you.
Right.
Huh? But you got to learn to be content. Say, yeah, I just don't have it. I just got to learn to be content in whatever state that I'm in. Huh? I got to learn. Everybody understand that? In other words, you're not going to get this overnight. You got to learn to be what? Content. In other words, stop murmuring. Stop complaining. Stop itching. Huh? You know, you be itchy, itchy, itchy. Learn to be still. Huh? Learn to be still and be quiet. Huh? Oh, yes, Lord. I thank Jesus for this church. One thing I can say about this church is still and this church is quiet. Sometimes you need to just come on in here, find you a corner, and just sit still. See how long you can take it. See how long you can endure it. Put your phone down. Huh? That's why I love nature. Yeah, I love nature. I love to go out there and just be quiet. I love to go out there and just hear stuff that I don't normally pay attention to. The crackling of the wood. The rustling of the leaves. This stuff lets me know there's a higher power out here. There's a higher authority out here. And I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Y'all understand that, saints? You are nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
You mean nothing. Think you significant? You think people can't get along without you? You're just a fool. You are just a pure fool. You better ask the Lord to take that fool out of me. All of us got it. You say, okay, not me. All of us got it. All of us got a little bit of fool inside of us. When you got a little bit of Adam, you got a little fool in you. And you need to ask the Lord Jesus, get the fool out of me. Remove the fool out of me, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Fool want to be tickled. Fool want to be laughing, giggling all the time. Fool don't want to be serious. But you need to ask the Lord, take the fool out of me. Because see, some stuff ain't no joke. Some stuff mean you need to really be serious. And when I'm telling you about your soul, when I'm telling you about the quality of your soul, and when your soul is going to spend eternity, that ain't nothing to be joking around with. That ain't nothing to be taken lightly. You need to proceed with caution. You need to move very cautiously to make sure your soul is where it needs to be. Why? Because Jesus is going to call. And you are going to answer. And you're going to have to give an answer for the things you've done well. Anybody understand that? So you don't get by. You know, you be telling folks, you better come on. Oh, I'm not going to let them know my heart. You don't get by. Because see, one day the Lord's going to call. And they're going to be on their sick bed and they're going to say, oh, come pray for me, man. Come pray. There's nothing that I can do for you. Because the Lord gave you plenty of time to get your house in order. Now, what did you do with it? Yeah. You want to come running and pulling on my coattail because you knew the life that I was living. Yeah. You talked about me when because they're saying going to church, going to church, going to church, going to church, running, living for Jesus. Man, everybody got time to do all that stuff. But let them get on that sick bed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let them get on that death bed. Yeah. And then see how spiritual they become. Right. Huh? You be pulling out Bibles. You ain't never seen them read no Bibles. Be playing gospel music and everything else. Oh. Be crying and everything. And that ain't going to get it. That's not going to get it. Lord told you got to be born of both water. If you don't have it, he said, I know you not, right? Any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none. See, that means I should be concerned. Do I have Jesus living down on the inside of me? If I don't, he told me I don't belong to him. And if I don't belong to Jesus, who do I belong to? If I'm not going back with Jesus, where am I going? Man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
I tell y'all all the time. That's why folk don't like it. That's why people don't want to be bothered with me. I understand it. I get it. I know it. Folk don't want me to say, oh, you know, don't be the one to deal with my loved one when they die. If they weren't in here, you'd best believe you're not going to hear me say the Lord took them. And they're with Jesus. Nah, not me. Not me. I'm going to talk to the living. And I'm going to tell them, you better get your house in order. And if they could come back and tell you, they would come back and tell you, don't come where I am. Come on. What did the rich man say? Go back and tell my brothers. Tell them, do not come where I am, right? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
See how the people, family, come be with me. But in hell, family's going to tell you, don't you come where I am. We don't need no family reunion in hell. This is one reunion you need to miss. You need to do everything you can do not to come down to this place. Because once you get down here, it's cold. You know, I'm talking about cold because it's hot, but I'm talking about it's cold. It's not, it's callous. It's a place of no feeling. Lots of feeling, but it's a place of no feeling. No compassion in hell. Huh? So hell ain't for you. You know how you can have somebody be compassionate to you here, but in hell there is no compassion. There is no love. There is no mercy. Huh? Now you have to say within yourself, hell is not for me. Then that means you ought to be living like it. You ought to be taking your days that Jesus gave you down here and living like hell is not the place you want to go. But one day, as I said, you're going to die and you're going to give up the ghost. And where the ghost goes is determined based upon what you do in this life. Choices and the decisions that you make. Huh? Not your mama. Not your daddy. Come on, give me that Ezekiel 18. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I intend to go there, but I'm gonna let y'all go. I'm done. It's almost 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But that Ezekiel 18 is, I hear it in my mind. Yeah. I hear it in my mind. Mm-hmm. 18 and 1, you can start.
The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, does what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel?
Yes.
The fathers have eaten
sour
bread.
Yep.
And the children's teeth are dead.
Yep.
As I live, said the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel.
Yep.
Behold, all souls are mine.
Who do the souls belong to? All of the souls belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh? Isn't that's reassuring, isn't it? That means ain't nobody can determine where you spend eternity yet but Jesus. That means he's the only one you need to be focused on. Seems like the only one you should be making happy is Jesus. At the end of the day, the only one I need to put a smile on their face is Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that owns my soul. All souls are mine.
As the soul of the Father, so also the
soul
of
the Son. Isn't that the truth? Huh? See, Mother Martin, she can look at Brother Irwin, and she can say, oh, that's my son. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to Jesus, Jesus said, that don't mean nothing. Your soul, Mother Martin, is mine, and your soul, Brother Irwin, is mine. Huh? Come on, you might have brought him into the earth, but he belongs to me. Huh? Isn't that a beautiful thing, saints? That's what you have to understand. See, you don't have to worry about trying to please people. Focus on the one that owns you. Jesus say, I belong to him, right? See, I'm concerned about my behaviors because I'm concerned about my owner. Who owns my soul? That's who I'm trying to please. Does that make sense? Read a little bit more.
The soul that sinneth.
Ho. Look at it. Huh? All the souls belong to Jesus. Mother, the father, the sister, the brother. All of them belong to Jesus. And now he narrows that funnel down. He say the soul that sinneth. Huh? Now you got to be concerned with that. Jesus, if the soul that sinneth got nothing to look forward to but death. Jesus, help me to get out of sin, right? Because the path that leads to death is the path of sin. That means that's the path that I need to get off of. Huh? No matter who's doing it, no matter who's saying it, no matter how many people are going there, if it's the path of sin, you have to make up your mind, I want nothing to do with it. Why? Because it leads to death. Does that mean I have to walk alone? I might be the only one in my family that don't want to walk on that path. But that means I am the only one that really wants to live. Huh? And that was the psalm writer said, Lord, let my soul do what? Huh? All of us have to make up our mind that I want to live. You may not want to live, but I want to live, right? I value life. People look at that and say, oh, Elder Scudder, you shouldn't have took Mother Best body out there. I ain't about no death. That's not the focus of this church. If it was up to me, I would say, go view the body at the funeral home. But because we love the family, ain't got nothing to do with Mother Beth. Because we love the family. You the body right here. Huh? Come on, walk the family in, man. I ain't got time to walk no family in. That's not what this is about. Forget about all the formalities and everything that is associated with that dead body. What do you have for the living? What do I have for the living? The soul that's in it. Huh? Living. Living. Get out of your sin. Does that make sense? That's the only message I have for the living. Get out of your what? Stop letting sin ruin you, saints. Sin is divisive. It's destructive. It's hateful. It's toxic. And you have to say within yourself, I'm tired of it. I'm not going to let sin ruin my life. Right? Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive peace, joy, and I'm not going to accept nothing less than that, right? Folk be full of hate. Talking to the brother the other day, he said, folk just want to throw him up under the bus because they full of hate. And I'm not going to let you, because you full of hate, ruin my joy. Every time you look at me, all you see is failure. I feel sorry for you. Now, when the Lord took the time to deliver me from sin, huh? You know my life. You know what mess Jesus brought me out of. And you want to ruin my day. Huh? Because you're miserable. How do you ever say misery loves company? Because you're miserable, you want me to be miserable. I refuse. No. You stand in your corner till you come to your senses. Jesus is my joy. Huh? I don't think you got nothing to be smiling and laughing about. Well, you wouldn't understand because you have no Jesus. But if you get Jesus like I got Jesus, we could be laughing together. We could be enjoying life. You realize how sweet life could be if we just all get Jesus like we're supposed to? We could sit down at the dinner table and enjoy food. Come on. Y'all understand that? Food is for your belly. Huh? But you can sit down and enjoy food. Sitting down and enjoy. Just so happy to see everybody and be smiling and enjoying the food. But when it ain't no Jesus, you be whispering, look how fast they eating. Just gobbling up their food like they starving. Ain't got no kind of manners. Look at them. Can I look at him? Go and get back some more chicken. Look. Go get some more chicken. He ain't had enough. Look at him. They fat already. Hateful. I'm trying to tell you what people do. They're just divisive and hateful. You don't know what people's conditions are. They may not have no food at home, so they're getting it while they can. Huh? You don't want them to eat? Don't put no food on the table. We buy all the sweets and stuff like that because I don't buy it to just be sitting there looking at it. Eat it. Eat it up, drink it up, do whatever with it. But don't be that way. I'm done. I'm because it's 1:00. I'm done. We'll get a little bit more into it next week. I want us to be serious about that, saints. You don't want sin to have its way in your life. Sin is only trying to ruin you and be divisive and hateful and bitter. You have to say within yourself, enough is enough. Jesus have come that I might have joy and peace. And I'm not going to accept anything less than what Jesus comes to offer me. Because even when the Holy Ghost comes in, see, that's the key. You got to let it come in. Because when it comes in, what comes with it? Peace, joy, and love, right? There's no reason for me to be bitter if I got the Holy Ghost. I just want us all to get along. Get some Holy Ghost then. All of us need to be right down here crying out to Jesus. And we need to keep calling until we get the Holy Ghost. God knows once we get finished calling Jesus, he'll mend all of our broken hearts. Huh? That's the truth. So you ain't got no Holy Ghost. You got a whole lot of drama. You got a whole lot of mess and confusion. Right? And that stuff don't never get settled. Y'all understand that? It never gets settled. Folks don't be in the grave good, and they be arguing over just stuff. Uh-huh. You be like, whoa, what does this have to do with it? Because you know if they was living, they wouldn't have gave it to neither one of you. But all of a sudden, we claim ownership over it because they can't stop us.
Right?
Don't be that way. Godliness with what? Contentment. Is what? That's when you're moving forward in life. Why? Because the facts, the reality are, it is a certain. We brought nothing into this world. And we can take what? Nothing. By labor out of it, saints. Right? Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart. You may not sin against Jesus. We'll get